Praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise in this place? Hallelujah. There is a theme that has been orchestrated by the Lord. And for me, it started at camp. But last Wednesday, it continued. And the Lord is showing this church and preparing this church for the great things that we are on the threshold of. Does anybody believe that in this place? My gosh. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that a lot of people were ministered to last week. I believe that there were healings in this place. I believe that there was reconciliation in this place. I believe that there was family revival in this place. Can I be the man, as the preacher said this weekend, that God wants me to be and just take things back that I have, and I'm going to be transparent, have allowed to be taken from me, and I'm just going to trust God because He really is in charge, and I'm going to believe Him for the great things that are going to happen, not only to me and in my life, but to this church and in our lives. God did some great things. And when the preacher was preaching this weekend and talking about Abraham going up on the mountain, God spoke to me and said this. Before Abraham took the trip up the mountain, he had to cut wood for the sacrifice. And if you study that out, one of the versions of the Bible says, when he cut enough wood, he took the journey. He didn't prepare haphazardly or halfway. He had enough wood because he was going to give to God what God asked him, and he was going to do it the right way. And what the Lord spoke to me was, that time that he was cutting wood, it was just him in the wood. He just kept cutting, just kept cutting, just kept cutting. It was like prayer time. He kept cutting, him in the wood. And he told me, you just keep cutting. You just keep cutting. You in the wood. You just keep seeking the one that went to Calvary, that went to the cross for you. You just keep cutting, and your answers are coming, and I'll provide the things that I know you need. Just like I did for Abraham. Prayer is important. You are going to see in this service that God has orchestrated. There have been things said from this pulpit. I and the pastor didn't talk about what's going to be preached. And for you men that were in the prison Saturday night, you'll hear some of the same scriptures, but I promise you, you will not endure the same message. But two mornings, this morning and yesterday morning, 2:34 and 2:44 a.m. God got me up because he wanted to talk to me. And I'm thankful that I got up. This morning, I didn't want to get up. My hip was sore and I'm laying there. And he reminded me that Jacob ended up with a hip problem too when he wrestled. So I got up, and he showed me something that I never would have saw if I wasn't obedient. The man of God came here last Sunday to share something with us that was important for all of us. It keeps us connected. I'm just a branch, but I'm connected to the vine, and that's our life. Amen. If you'll go to the third chapter of the book of Acts, very familiar portion of scripture. Now, this is after the New Testament church was born. The Holy Ghost was poured out. There was a great revival. Many were baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we have that truth. That's what got us all in this place. Amen. Amen. Now, Peter and John, verse 1 of 3, went up together into the temple at the hour of, whoa, there it is, the hour of prayer. Object lesson. It's still important in the church. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Tuck that word away for later, would you? Beautiful. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look at verse 5. You'll see a grain of mustard seed or some faith here. It says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. But such as I have, say that with me, but such as I have, give I unto thee. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments, and I don't believe I'm going to be that long, but God is going to do some awesome things in this place tonight. There's some prayers fixing to be answered in this place. There's some miracles that are going to, are we the New Testament church? Are we the church of miracles, signs, and wonders? My, my. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher, for this tremendous privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank you, saints of God, for allowing for me to minister to you. I do never take that lightly. God has placed some awesome men of God behind this pulpit, besides the awesome pastor that he has given us. And this is a place that is well fed. Amen. I mean it. We are fortunate. We are fortunate. And so that challenges me in God, not in competition, but in God, that I want to do the very best I can for God, for God's people. Amen. But I'm just a branch that's connected to the vine. Without him, I could do nothing. Amen. That's where I'm starting. But that which I have. That word have means possession, property, riches. Used of those joined to anyone by the bonds of natural blood or marriage. The thing that happens when we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. The blood is applied, we take on his name, and we are married in the name of Jesus, buried and married. His blood is applied. We become a child of God. Amen. So it's anyone by the bonds of natural blood or marriage or friendship, where we sang about the friend of God tonight, or duty of attendance or relationship. I was driving by a sign at a denominational church for a week, and this sign said this, religion makes the world. You know, And the denominational world is a stepping stone. I'm not bashing it. I am not bashing it. Because the denominational church that I was a part of when I was a child taught me about Jesus. I knew there was a Jesus. And I knew he worked miracles. And I knew that there was something special about that. And you know, when I was a child, I was always the last one to be picked when it was kickball or big. Can you believe that? A well-versed athlete like myself in the prime of my life? Well, maybe I was a little overweight. I was always the last one to be picked. So when they were off playing games, right across the street from where I grew up was the church that I was a part of. As a matter of fact, the house I grew up in used to be a church, and it was moved across the street, and my dad and my grandpa made two floors out of it, and it was the Lutheran church, and then they built a new one. But when everybody was off playing games, I'd go across the street into that church, and back then the churches weren't locked because it was a different place. And I'd go up to the altar, and I'd get on the platform, and I'd start at the little lectern, and then I'd go to that big one where he went way out, and I'd stand there and pound, "And the Lord God said..." Then I thought I heard something, and I thought, I better get out of here. I'm going to... But it was in that place that God already placed something in my heart. And I pretended to tell people about God. Little did I know that one day God would put his truth in me and I would be able to tell people about God, and I could say, "And the Lord God said." And it was so. A relationship. So that sign said, religion makes the world. And this little voice spoke to me and said, but relationship makes heaven. Right. Something shows us, you know, I knew about heaven back then, and I knew I wanted to go there, and it sounded like an awesome place, but it was just a hope or a dream. And yes, we have that hope now, but there's something concrete about truth and about the Word of God and about a relationship with God that lets you feel settled deep in your soul, knowing that it's available for us, and yes, we really can go. But it's also a place that's not just for us, but it's for the people that you and I rub shoulders with every day. And so God gives us this truth for a reason. Romans 6 and 17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." But ye have obeyed. That word obeyed means listen or hearken, or one who comes to the knocking at the door to listen and see who it is. And God knocks on the door of our heart with truth, and then we decide if we are going to obey it. And that word doctrine or which was delivered to us means in an assembly of Christians to speak in a way of teaching in distinction from other modes of speaking in public. There was something about the preaching of God's word that opened our eyes and opened our hearts to this truth and allowed for us to say, "Oh, I want more of that." So the relationship begins. But when God begins a relationship with you and I and we apply his blood to our lives and then he fills us with his spirit and dwells inside us, there's something that takes place in our character, something that makes us different because the love of God is imparted inside of us. And now we're somebody different and people can see that there's something different about that person or those people. And what it is the love of God. And when you have the love of God, you should see through different lenses when you see people. And God has been checking me. And God has been allowing for me to see some things differently, but it's taken prayer. This isn't about, I'm not saying Mr. Spiritual, but I and my wife, after Sunday, we talked about, you know what? We got to do something more. So we have been coming here on this week at right around supper time, and we come in here and we pray, and she brought her little Pandora, and we worshiped God, just us and God. And it's done something. Push a few plates away and get closer to God. And all of a sudden, he opens your eyes because I want to be what he's called me to be. Amen. And the awesome thing with God is you can be anything you want to be and as much as you want to be in him if you'll just seek him and allow for him to do it to you. Amen. So there's something that takes place in us. And so before we go on and talk about that love and what's imparted, I want to share with you an object lesson if you will go with me to Luke, the 10th chapter. Verse 25. Now this is a way that I have never seen this scripture this way before, and it's an object lesson on attitude and relationship and well, just see if you pick up on it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This was an attorney or a lawyer, somebody who was well-versed in the scriptures. He understood the law, so he knew the word of God. And here he is, tempting Jesus, if you will, testing him. What should I do to inherit the kingdom? It sounds like a wrong attitude. And Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now notice, the Lord is about to give this an attorney an object lesson on something that I don't believe he possesses totally, and it's love. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thy neighbor as thyself. Sounds to me like something when that relationship takes place with you and I, when we enter into that relationship with the Lord and he imparts his love in us. Now all of a sudden, we see people in a different light. I told the men in the prison that not all of them embraced the truth. I said, you guys really love me. You just don't know it yet. Because Paul said, the things I used to love, now I hate, and the things I used to hate, now I love. So God's going to open your eyes to this truth one day, and you're going to say, man, that guy. But so just hang in there. You're going to like me. You just don't know it yet. Because one day you're going to say, I'm so thankful that he gave me what God wanted me to have. And he came in here and preached truth and didn't just tickle my ears. And he said unto him, Thou hast sent, love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? You know, I was looking loophole. Let's take this a little further, because I know. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now, that word Jerusalem, very interesting. It is of a Hebrew origin, the capital of Philistine, Jerusalem. It denotes either the city itself or the inhabitants. The Jerusalem that now is, with its present religious institutions, it is also considered the holy city, or can be the church that the holy city for the people of God, or you can look at it metaphorically as the church which was established by the Lord Jesus Christ, the house of God. So this man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain man. You know what? Be careful of what manner of man we think we are. Sometimes there can be something that lacks in our life. But he went from Jerusalem to the, let's just object lesson say, from the house of God to Jericho. Remember Jericho, and that word means fragrance. Can you think in this room, you smell a smell and oh, it brings back something that happened to you 20 years ago. Oh, I remember when. But Jericho was the place where they got their first victory, the nation of Israel, after they crossed into the promised land. But it also marks the place where Achan made a mistake and took of the spoils. So if you would just allow me to use the application of someone who was familiar with the house of God but went back to the... just got mesmerized by some of the things, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the place where he got victory over one time, but now he got wrapped up and smothered by the things of that place. He went down. And after he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, then he fell among thieves. He went down some more. And anybody in this place knows when you fall among thieves, it's probably not going to go well for you. So, and while he fell among thieves, they stripped him of his raiment. And that means actually, metaphorically, that can mean the covering, the very covering of your soul. The world wants to strip us of our covering and wants us to tell us the blood isn't important to apply to our lives. But we know that's a lie. And after that, we see that they wounded him. They departed, leaving him half dead. You know, when you and I lived in the world, realistically, we were half dead. We were alive, but spiritually, we were dead. But I'm so thankful that someone came to us and took care of us and delivered unto us. Okay? So they left him for dead. And then a certain priest came by. Now, that priest means a priest literally or figuratively, one who offers sacrifices in general referring to priests of Gentiles and Jews, metaphorically of Christians, because, now listen to this, purified by the blood of Christ and brought into close relationship, they devote their life to Christ alone. So that's why I'm using this object lesson. So really, this could have been someone who was a part of the church, a man of God. The Bible tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He walked down the street and the Bible said, he saw him. That word saw means he laid eyes on him, he saw him, he perceived him with any one of the senses. He realized he had trouble, but perhaps he was just a little too wrapped up in what he had to get done and what he had to do, and he had to prepare this and he had to go there, and well, in these last times, this world wants us to be running to and fro, Church of God. And last week, I am so thankful that we have a pastor that was sensitive to the Spirit of God and the things of God. And we didn't just walk by what God wanted to do in that service, but the man of God was sensitive and allowed for God to have his way. And you know what he did? He saw the shape of his people. He knew that we needed to be ministered to. Some of us were laying here and we needed some help and some work, and God ministered to us right here. We didn't just walk by, and we can never get, like it was said tonight, to a place where it's just a program and come on, we got to sing our four songs, and I hope the preaching's not too long because I got to go to work tomorrow. Well, the kids are off at school, but we got things to do. And amen. So he just left him. Not too long later, a Levite came by and looked on him. That word looked means the same thing as saw. He saw him. He perceived what he needed with any one of the senses. He saw the same thing that the priest saw. Now, a Levite from the tribe of Levi could have been one of the children of Aaron, part of the priesthood, the ministry of God, or it could have been one that was a part of the tribe of Levi, but they were workers and they did things in the ministry. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this, because this is who they were. In a narrower sense, those were called Levites who, not being of the family of Aaron, for whom alone the priesthood was reserved, served as assistants to the priest. It was their duty to keep sacred utensils and the temple clean, to provide the sacred loaves, to open and shut the gates of the temple, to sing sacred hymns in the temple, and to do many other things. Sounds to me like the saints of God. And saw him laying there, looked at him, and then crossed and went to the other side. Well, that looks like a lot of work, and this guy's got issues. And I have a schedule. I have things, and I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for that guy. Listen, this is not a rebuke. This is not a rebuke to this church. This is, God is preparing us. The object lesson's coming because he has spoke to us about sending backsliders back to this place and people from this world, and it's not going to be pretty as far as where they come from. But it's an object lesson for the church because he wants us to see them through his lenses so that we can be prepared to minister to what he is going to send us. This is, he told us, this is a chosen place. So, here comes the object lesson. a certain Samaritan. And that simply is a watch place or a watch mountain. An observation hill. So here's an object lesson, something for us to observe, because here's what God imparted in us. And the certain Samaritan walked by, he was on a journey, and that journey simply is metamorphically, a course of conduct, a way of manner, or a way to go. So he was on a journey looking to walk properly. A Samaritan. And he saw him metaphorically. Thank you. He saw him, and he was on a journey. And the Bible says he saw him and had compassion on him. He bound his wounds, meaning he had to put hands on and cover, and he poured in oil. Hands-on situation, and hopefully, let's look at it as talk to him about the Spirit of God and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then he gave him wine. And yes, that means fermented beverage. But how about the New Testament church, the new wine? And he gave him the message. He told him, God has more for you. I can help you. And then he put him on his own beast and took him to an inn or a place to be cared for, where he would see the love and the provision of God. And then this Samaritan, when he left, when he departed, he gave the innkeeper 2 pence, and that is 2 days' wages. You know what? You can tell how involved you are when you start reaching for your wallet. Right? I remember the pastor saying, yeah, you see them lights behind you, and all of a sudden you get this sick feeling because you know it's going to cost you something. 2 days' wages, just a little object lesson of a sacrifice involved to help this man. He had compassion on him. He had mercy on him. And that word compassion is also mercy, and means having mercy or compassion to the point where you actually are going to reach your hand forth and do something about it. Right. Instead of, well, I'm going to pray for you. You're going to do something about it. And so the object lesson that the Lord is giving the attorney is, okay, what does the word say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Show mercy. He bound his wounds. He poured in oil. He took him to a place to have him taken care of. The Samaritan saw and had compassion. Love with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Another account in Matthew 22 and 36 says, to love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. And then because another attorney or lawyer is asking him, what is the most important commandment of all? Another object lesson, a love lesson. Why? Because we can be prepared for that, because when he imparts his Spirit in us, there's something that changes. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then that account in Matthew 22 says, on these hang all the law and the prophets. That's why when Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration and the voice said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, and Isaiah and Moses, were gone and Jesus was there alone, he fulfilled all the law and the, listen, what would fulfill them was a love thing. And Jesus was a love and compassion. When he came, on that hang all the law and the prophets. So the voice says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. He now will tell you what you ought to do. So it was a compassion and a love thing. So, object lesson in a portion of scripture, just like I never saw it before. Can you embrace that? Are you with me so far? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that an object lesson that works?
Yeah.
Love, compassion is what is pleasing to God when we see those things before us, and you and I see them every day. I spoke to Brother Shadi today. There's a man in the prison, and when I see him, I just want to weep inside. I have such compassion for him, and I didn't even know his story till I was finally told about his story. Here's a man who's incarcerated, and I believe his wife is as well. He lost a child that's under the age of 2 because something went wrong in a drug deal situation. And so here he is incarcerated in this place, but he's in a place where God, Pastor Schumacher, is dealing with him, and he realizes that there's more to God than what he's learned. And here's a man that in our services on Saturdays, everybody else sits down. He stands in the bleachers for the whole service, the whole preaching. And it's not an attention-seeking thing. He's standing because of the reverence of God and the Word of God. And he needs something from God and needs to get closer. And I wish that there was something that I could do for him to help. There is. I can give him truth and I can love him. Can you imagine being incarcerated in a place where there's nothing you can do about it? Your child is gone, and there you are. That's what you have to think about. That's something that only God and the love of God can change. So, let's go to John, the 4th chapter. John 4. And verse 30. I'm sorry, not verse 30. Verse 4 of that 4th chapter. And he must needs go through Samaria. Here he is in Samaria again. Or we're dealing with a Samaritan. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Really, Jesus represents Jacob's well. He was the water that flowed from the rock and fed and nourished the tribe of Israel back in the Old Testament days. And here he is again. Now he's at that very well, the living water himself, if you will. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But it was an object lesson way back then, and the Lord showing us that it doesn't matter, because there is going to come a time when it doesn't matter who you are. It don't matter who your daddy was. It don't matter what your financial situation is. It don't matter what skin color you are. It don't matter where you come from, because there is going to be a chance for you to have a relationship with the Almighty God. How is it that you would have something to do with me? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He has something to draw with. It's the Spirit of God. If I be lifted up, I will, but he's going to at one day in time draw all men unto him. It wasn't about this water that'll make you thirsty. It was about some kind of living water that he could put inside of us that wasn't for our benefit totally. Yes, it brought us back alive, but it was put there to help other people become a part of the same truth and be brought alive as well. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in the well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith to her, go call thy husband to come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. That word have is the same word that we read in the book of Acts, the third chapter, but such as I have. So what this lady was saying to Jesus and had no idea she was saying it is, I have no possession or property or riches, and am not joined to anyone by blood or natural marriage or friendship or duty or attendance or relationship. Now watch this. Here comes the real draw, because he says, go fetch hither thy husband. And Jesus, isn't that an odd, after she requests a drink of water, okay, I'll give you the water, but there's something that has to happen first. And now watch, he's looking inside. She says, I have not a husband. And he says, thou hast said well. She came clean. He drew her to. She was honest with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What he was saying is, bring me your husband. And then she said she didn't have a husband, and he read her mail. Thou hast had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband. You know what? He was about to teach her about a healthy relationship. A relationship that imparts something in you and I that isn't just going to take us through the next day or the next week or the next year, but it's a relationship that will sustain us here on earth and then for eternity. He didn't say, go bring me your partner or your significant other. Can I just go that way for a direction, a little side note, and say he was also teaching on healthy relationships. Bring me your husband. There is a healthy relationship that has been ordained by God, and it is marriage between a man and a woman. Amen. Double teaching, healthy relationship. So she comes clean and says, I have not a husband. And all of a sudden, he reads her mail and something happens inside of her and she's changed. She sets her water pot on the well. The old agenda is not important anymore. And she goes into the city to tell men. And watch this. I wonder if when the men saw her coming, oh, here she comes. But she had a different agenda now. It wasn't about an unhealthy relationship. It was about, let me take you to somebody that can change your life and can tell you things that are good for you and that will change you inside. And then the Bible says in the end, if you read that story, that they told her, we didn't believe on him because what you said, we believed on him because we saw him or it for ourselves. What it's showing us is you can have the same relationship with God that I can have and that she can have. He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. All we need to do is show up and seek him. Be obedient to what is taught to us. And then, so somebody, like I read that scripture in the book of Romans to start this, Romans, the 6th chapter, be thanked that someone obeyed, they preached us the doctrine, we obeyed, someone gave to us such as they had, we responded, and now here we are. Why? So we can deliver the same message unto others, the gospel message. Repentance, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. So, remember the gate beautiful, which is where they laid the one that was paralyzed from the very beginning. And Peter and John gave him what they had. There's another place that was considered beautiful, and I would like to end tonight with that little story and take you on a little journey, if you will go with me to Luke, the 7th chapter. And we are going to start at verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Notice verse 13, object lesson. We learned it twice already tonight. And when the Lord saw her, the same word saw that the Levite and the priest and the Samaritan saw, and he had compassion on her. Who needs a miracle in this place? Who needs something taken care of in your family? Who needs some children restored to the kingdom? Do you know what? I am going to act like that man and tell you that I'm having revival in my family. Maybe I don't see it yet, but I believe it. I'm going to see it. And here's why. Because right here, does this sound beautiful? Well, but Brother Bear, you said there was another beautiful. They laid the paralyzed man at the gate beautiful, so people could drop in a few coins. But Peter and John gave him what would sustain him, and now he could walk for himself. He could have his own walk with God. That took place at the gate beautiful. Here we're seeing a very dark and ugly situation. So she's a widow. She already lost her husband, and now she lost her only son. He's dead. And it took place in a city called Nain, and if you look that up, that city means beauty. Doesn't seem very beautiful. But you know what? This is where the compassion and the power and the renovating power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God takes over and changes the situation. Because this situation looks bad. She's already a widow, and now she's childless. Everything, everyone that she loved and meant the most to her family is gone. And Jesus sees, and that word sees, like the other saw her, he perceived. He didn't just see with the eyes, but he realized what was going on in her heart. He realized the pain that she was in. He could feel it. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet he could feel her pain. And he stepped in on the situation and turned what was really ugly into something really beautiful. And guess how he did it? Just like the Samaritan bound up his wounds and applied things to it. If you read this scripture, it says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Weep not.' And he came and touched the bier, the coffin, the thing that held the body." So Jesus stepped into the situation, and now the touching started. First, he touched the bier, what held the body, and stopped. Then he touched and spoke to the young man, and the Bible said that he arose, he woke up, and he spoke. He uttered. Could you see that in a metaphoric way of a renewing of a child that had been gone, that maybe walked away from the church? I'm talking to some mamas right now. I'm talking to some mothers in this place. God spoke this to me very early in the morning, that there's some mamas in this place that need to see their children restored. And how beautiful would that be to you when you see that one that right now is realistically half dead because they've left the house of God and they're out there rummaging around in the world and they're spiritually dead. And you know it. And it pricks your heart day after day. You pray for them. You think about them. You're fixed on their situation. And then you can put it away for a while, but it always comes back. Am I speaking to anybody in this place? And then it's two-dimensional. Not only is it the mamas and your babies, but it's the church for the lost people that are outside these doors. And we know who they are. We know who has walked away from this place, the backsliders, the ones that we never thought would leave this place. Get ready, because they're coming back. See them through the vision of the Almighty God. Be ready to be part of the restoration. Be ready to put your hands on their situation. Be ready to pour a little oil in the wounds. Be ready to pray with them till they go back to the speaking in tongues and pray through and cry out and let the Spirit utter from deep within them. And that word, that sound, Mama, it would be beautiful to you, would it not? If there, and here is how God has asked me to end this service. I told my pastor that I am expecting another A service. I'm trusting in God for another A service tonight. Not just a mediocre Wednesday night service, because we're not going there anymore. God has us on a mission, and I think every one of you in this place see what's happening here. We are going on a mission. But the beauty is it's God that's taken us there. It's not what we're orchestrating. It's what God is doing through us and to us and with us. So there are some mamas in this place, and I would ask you to come up to the front and stand here if you have a child that you want to see restored to the kingdom of God. I want you to know something. I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling right now. And I want you to stand, and I'm not, just because this is Sister Bear, just because she's my wife, don't mean she gets special, but I want her to stand right here, and then I want you, ladies, as many as there are, to stand behind her. See, what I'm seeing right now is what I saw very early this morning. I perceived it, Pastor Schumacher. God showed this to me. Do you believe that God sends angels? Did God not speak to us just a week ago about angels? And scriptures tell us over and over and over. Now, I will pour out of my Spirit, the Lord says. In the last days, I will pour out, some people just say, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The scripture says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Of my Spirit, whole, complete. Is this church Spirit-filled? I am here to tell you that, yes, God's going to pour out His Spirit, and it's fallen from heaven, but there is going to be a greater anointing and a greater happening in the church of the living God, and we're going to see it going forth just like it's going to fall from heaven, because He will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Step a little closer, because the Bible says, Bible says that their hair gives them power with angels. Am I in the book? Psalms 5:11-12 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now that word compass, surround, but it also means crown. And there's something that the Spirit of God and the power of God can do to you and I, to our minds, to give us peace. He surrounds our minds. He encompasses us with peace. And because of having power to call upon angels, the Bible says this, that if we will confess him before people, that God will confess us before the angels of God. I'm wondering if he's not talking to the angels right now because of the righteousness, God's righteousness and the unshorn hair. And what's he saying right now? You know where their children are. You see them. I'm sending you. I'm sending you to that situation. And all of a sudden, like the prodigal who was in the pig pen, the Bible said, he came to himself. Could there be an angel that's looking at your child or my child right now and putting a crown over their head? What am I doing here? Why am I even here? Because even the servants in my father's house have enough to eat. And more. I want you to remember this picture, saints of God. Because you just watch and see what's going to happen. This isn't about me. This is simply about me being obedient to allow for you to see with your eyes what the Lord is doing in the spiritual realm, not only for our families, but to this city. Yeah. And if you tonight will grasp this and hang on to it and believe and trust, and you're going to see your children coming back, and we're going to see them when they come in here, and we're going to rejoice together, but you're also going to see walking through those doors people that used to walk through those doors. And what God, I believe, has showed us in his scriptures tonight is like the priest and like the Levite, not to walk by, but we take the time and we minister. And we apply the oil and we... Let's not walk by God. Let's not walk by. Seven years it took Solomon to build that temple and for the temple to be built. But you know what? It wasn't complete. It wasn't completed till the Spirit of God moved in there. And the priest couldn't even stand to minister because God took over. That's where we're at right now. That's where God has brought us. To a place where he's taking over in situations. He's orchestrating behind the scenes.
Would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jude 22 says, and some have compassion and make a difference. What I saw in that scripture is if you really love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you also have compassion. If you don't love God with everything, you'll never have compassion for those that are around us. Amen, amen. God, help us to have a burden for those that are around us. If we love Him more, we'll have that same compassion for those that are around us. The altar is open. Why don't you come right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.